Hi, welcome to our AP Lit podcast. I am Natalie.
I am Jack.
And I'm Adam.
Today we are going to be pursuing the question of whether or not Raz the Exhorter is blind and blindfolded to
blind
his
situation.
Situation.
To his experience. Unfortunately, we do not have Gwen joining us today, but
yes.
She will be back next time.
So polite.
To get started, I want to focus our ideas on the bottom of page 368.
All right.
When the fight breaks out, I am and Clifton go to speak on the street at night, and the fight breaks out. I heard the sound of breaking glass, and the street went dark. Someone had knocked out the light, and through the dimness, I saw Clifton heading to where a red neon sign glowed in a dark window as something went past my head. So there starts to be a brawl, brotherhood versus non-brotherhood, non-brotherhood being led by Rass, the Exhorter. And immediately, I think you start to get parallels to the Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
So, my question is, participants in the Battle Royale were all blind.
True story.
Does that parallel imply that the participants of this Battle Royale are also all blind? What do we think?
Immediately, I'm going to say yes. Maybe it'll change to a no. But I'm going to say yes now because I'm going to consider blind as being, like, in the Battle Royale, like, they're doing whatever these superior, like, white men are telling them to do. And in this situation, there's no white men standing there on the outside, like, cheering them on to fight each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the root of their issue is still surrounding of, like, Rass is upset with them, the Brotherhood, because they include white people. And I think that the issue itself that's stemming between their violence is still race-related. So I'm still going to say they're blindfolded. Someone disagree or agree?
I think I agree with that. I also think when we talk about Ellison's very deliberate language in this book, it's hard for him to call a parallel and not have it be for a reason. You know, a collection of black men fighting each other in the dark happens a couple times. It's clearly not an accident, and I think we only have to assume that they're all blind. And, you know, that contrasts what Rass, the Exhorter, leads everyone to believe, or at least what he claims to be, when he is talking to Clifton and I am after he almost kills Clifton. Starts talking about how he's black and he should not be united with the Brotherhood. So what about that is blind? Because that's the part I'm confused about.
For Rass?
Yeah.
Well, I kind of, like, personally, I believe that Rass is the one who's woke, quote-unquote,
yeah,
in this situation, because, you know, his argument is that, like, the people in the Brotherhood are, like, almost becoming the thing that they're trying to get rid of. Like, mm-hmm. there's white people in their Brotherhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of against that. He's saying, like, you guys are becoming, like, the high people in power that are white. And mm-hmm. he stands for the fact that, like, why aren't we going to stand out for people that are like us, like the advance of our race? And I think, like, that kind of shows the parallel. Like, Clifton and, like we said about the Battle Royale, Clifton and Invisible Man are, they both are who Invisible Man was in the first Battle Royale. And then Rass could be like Tadlock, you know, in the opening scene, you know, how Tadlock was saying, like, I'm doing this for me, or like, because Invisible Man was whispering to him and saying, "If you let me win, I'll pay you more." And he says, mm-hmm. "I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm doing this for myself and for, like, my people." You know,
interesting.
I just think, like, the Clifton and Invisible Man are like blind in this situation, but Rass is kind of like woke, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes, that is interesting. I think the part that I'm confused about is I would definitely agree that he's less blind because he's able to identify that the Brotherhood seems to be puppeteering I.M. and Clifton and using them. But again, I think using a parallel like this, I think it would be irresponsible of Ellison to call it parallel and then not have it match up.
Yeah.
So I feel like there has to be something there. I don't know what it is. I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean,
That's
though.
What I was saying about the Tadlock thing.
Yeah.
I mean, but, like, in essence, like, you know, they had all those blindfolds on in the opening scene.
Yeah.
But also, like, they could essentially have a, like, maybe a metaphorical blindfold on, but, like, Rass is the one that does not have that. metaphorical one on.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because Tadlock, he did have a blindfold on to fight him, but...
Not metaphorically.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That could be a huge parallel there, you know?
Yeah, I get that. I like that idea, too. Thoughts, Natalie?
I'm digesting.
Understand.
I'm still thinking. I don't know. I think that... I don't know. I'm really wrestling with the fact when Raz is calling them out. He's like, "You my brother, man. Brothers are the same color." And I'm kind of rethinking that right now. Mm. But I do like what you guys are saying as well. It is an interesting thought to work with.
It almost seems like Raz is kind of like trying to drag them out of like doing something that's wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like he's trying to like get them to understand that that's not the right way to go about, you know, advocating for your race. You need to do it my way because what you're doing is just basically doing the thing that you're swearing to destroy. Like maybe the parallel between Booker T. Washington and Du Bois.
Yeah.
Know? Like they could be – like Raz could be Du Bois in this situation. And yes. Booker T. Washington is the Brotherhood – representative from the Brotherhood.
Yeah.
I think it's even more ironic to think that, you know, like, sitting in the dark and there's, like, the red neon signs and, like, Raz is trying to, like, bring them to the light, essentially, as they're literally physically sitting in the dark, like, talking.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting. I don't know. I think that another thing that I want to, I don't know, maybe bring a discussion is at the end of 371 when Raz is saying, like, what do they give you? Money? And he's, like, he's all pissed off and he's, like, taking their money is shit, man. Money without dignity, that's bad shit.
Yeah.
And I think going back to the idea of kind of just African Americans being puppets in society and how, like, even with, like, the little bank and putting the money in it and, like, Norton in the money, and I feel like, obviously, this isn't, like, an economical book, but I think it's interesting to consider socioeconomic plays.
You know what? Someone made a notation in my book on the line, "Their money bleed black blood, man. It's unclean," and then going into taking their money as shit. Someone highlighted that and wrote "True Blood."
No reference to the blood.
I like that idea. Yeah. That, you know, this is the same situation. Raz the Exhorter is saying to IM, "You don't want, you know, money without dignity." I would argue that there's a lot of money without dignity in this book. IM being paid to work for the Brotherhood. IM getting a scholarship to college, I would argue, is money without dignity. Or, True Blood taking money.
Yeah, that's the same.
Yeah.
Yep.
And also, like, the reference to the blood, you know, like, blood, so true blood. Yeah. And this dirty money, you're saying, like, from the right blood.
Right. And that's my confliction here is I feel like there's something that Raz is blind to, but what he's saying is pretty – it seems pretty cited.
Yeah.
He seems like, you know, he's making a lot of good points. I think my first claim on surface level would be his arrogance is one thing that he's blind to, is saying things like, "I swear I ought to kill you, no man strike the Exhorter."
And maybe
he's kind of cocky and he thinks he's
blind to like other things besides like the actual like race thing, like you said, like the arrogance, and maybe unaware, he's kind of like a little bit of like rambunctious individual, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of just goes and does what he wants without thinking about it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
It's kind of a loose cannon.
I think
you
will see that the further you get past this point, that he almost seems to, you know, perpetuate a cycle. Like in this situation, he chose to attack IM and the Brotherhood. While, IM and the Brotherhood was in his territory. Raz the Exhorter is being like, "Oh, we need to not fight each other. Like, all the black people need to have some sort of unity." He's the one that started the brawl, though.
Yeah.
So I think that's another thing that I'd argue, or another point to argue that he's a little bit blind is
too.
The fact that, you know, he claims to unite all black people, but at the same time, he's often the instigator. And there's a couple times in this book when IM and Raz meet, and Raz is often the instigator.
But also, he did spare Clifton's life when he was about to like kill him too.
Yeah, that,
and
that
like,
too.
He reminded him, like, "Wake up," you know. That,
I
that's how I took it as. It's just like him sparing him was saying, like, "You need to wake up and understand, like, what the hell are you doing?"
Yeah.
And also, we see like Clifton, when he's not part of the Brotherhood, as you read on, like, he just becomes, like, not a shell of a person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Have you read that far, Natalie?
What are you referring to?
When Clifton, after he got, like, removed from the Brotherhood.
No.
Oh, okay. Well,
we won't go into it then.
Yeah, that's, I definitely think
you
that's
know what I'm talking about,
though,
yeah, right?
I know what you're talking about. And I think I would say Ras is more, he's less blindfolded than Clifton and I am. Maybe, definitely not completely. You know, we've seen through his arrogance and his willingness to just mm-hmm. brawl on the street, break things, that yeah. maybe he's not quite there yet. And also further in the book, just it should be still going.
Yeah, we're still talking.
Interesting.
Further in the story, and actually noted in the prologue, he calls himself Rasta Destroyer at some point.
Yeah.
So while he, you know, he may be less blind than others, he's definitely got a little bit left.
Oh, to go. Definitely. But also,
there we go.
He is, like, he still has the sense of understanding, you know?
Yeah.
He may be, like, kind of an arrogant or, like you said, a destroyer of a person. Like, he just goes into things and doesn't mm-hmm. even care the damage he's doing, you know? But I'm willing to make the claim that, like, he is aware of the significance of them being a part of the Brotherhood and how that's, like, not the best thing that they can be a part of, you mm-hmm. know? And how his way is the right way, essentially.
Okay, yeah. He definitely is somewhat aware. I'm just reading through a lot of his dialogue. I want to talk about, why do you think he starts saying that Clifton would have been a black king?
That's exactly the page that I'm on.
In Africa. Because he doesn't say that about I am.
I think
he doesn't like either of them, but he says that Clifton,
yeah,
listen, dude, like, you would have been top, like, you would have been an African king.
Well, I think, like, previously, like, when Clifton was, like, late to the meeting, whatever, he had the mark on his face, right? Because he had gotten in trouble with one of Rass's boys, right?
What's that?
Like, Clifton comes to one of the morning meetings, and he's late, and they're, like, all pissed off, like, oh, like, the guy who's in charge of our youth or whatever, like, he's late to the meetings, and he's, like, a mark on his cheek because he got in a fight with, like, one of Rass's boys.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, that. I think that because, I mean, I am's pretty new to the game still. I think Clifton has, you know, been caught, cross paths with Raz more. I think that Raz just knows him more than I am. I mean, I am is a new threat, doesn't really have much time to process, but I think that saying that he could have been a king and, like, to consider that fact, in Africa, this man be a chief, a black king, and it's kind of, like, realize your worth. Like, you could have mm-hmm. been more, and now, like, you're still a puppet by the white man.
I definitely agree with you with, like, what you're saying about I am being new to it. Like, he kind of essentially doesn't really know what the right answer is, but,
yeah,
like, right. Clifton is, like, certain of, like, the Brotherhood is the right way, and he's not willing to be hurt otherwise. Invisible Man doesn't really know what to know anymore, you know?
Yeah.
He's a very conflicted person, but, like, Raz and Raz shows kind of, like, one side, Clifton shows another, and then Invisible Man is kind of, like, he's a drifter. He doesn't really know what to decide on.
You know, that's interesting that you say that. I kind of got a different impression. Like, it seems like for a while in this book, I am is very adamant on, like, the Brotherhood is the only way. Clifton seems a little, I think Clifton seems more conflicted in
really?
This scene. Yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but in the end of their confrontation, Clifton repeats something that I am said. Ross said. He says, did you hear how he was talking? Did you hear what he was saying? And then I am is like, yeah, I heard him. And Clifton's like, I don't know. I suppose a man has to plunge outside history sometimes. Otherwise, he might kill somebody, go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I am does not say anything to that. The kind of vibe, if I can use that word, kind of looks like Clifton was mulling it over. And he's like, he doesn't like it, but there's, like, a seed planted.
Yeah, I definitely think, like, both I am and Clifton, like, they want to be with the Brotherhood, but they understand that, like, Raz is presenting, like, a legitimate and well-thought-out argument. Like, you mm-hmm. said, he has very good citations, you know, he's saying, like, why are you trying to deny betraying the black people? Why you fight against us, you young fellows? Like, you have an education.
Yeah.
And, like, you should know better.
It's a good point, too. Yeah.
I think it's just, like, interesting to see, like, wow, they understand, like, this is, he's saying, like, something that's that can be true.
Right. I just lost my spot, but...
370s.
Thank you. I also thought it was interesting how Ross starts saying things like, you're from down south. He's, oh, here it is. Where do you think you're going for with them white folks? I know, don't I know it? You from down south, you from Trinidad, you from Barbados, Jamaica, South Africa, and the white man's foot in your ass all the way to the hip. And he says, yeah. So I thought that was interesting comparing all of these places that he could have been from, saying, you're from all of those, white man's foot in your ass all the way to the hip.
Yeah.
What it's do we think about that?
It's almost like him, like Raz is saying, like, you're never going to be, like, your own person because you're always going to have a white person looking over your soldier or being a part of you, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And
he's saying, I am my own person, which is interesting because, like, what we're talking about, like, he's a loose cannon. He does whatever the hell he wants to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, him showing, like, throwing a shot at them, saying, like, you're never going to be able to have the sense of independence that I have because you're always going to have a white person's foot up your ass, you know?
Yeah, and I do think the foot up your ass is definitely an allusion to puppetry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's how you control a puppet. Not your foot, hopefully, but, you know.
Fingers crossed. Toes crossed.
All right, that's, yeah. Also, I think it's interesting that he compares all these places to the same. I think that it has something to do with, like, identity. Like, we've noted a couple times that Ross is very pro-unity. All black people should be together, and that's it. And so I think him saying all of these, you know, Barbados, Jamaica, South Africa, being like, you're from all those places, it just promotes that unity that he started to talk about. And I don't think we've discovered yet whether that's more blind or less blind.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have to see
how it pans out, you know?
How it pans out to see how well he really understands the implications of that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder that.
Well, I think we've... Do you think we've got reached to a point where we've dissected it, or do you have anything else to add, Jack?
I think... Hold on. Yeah, okay, I thought so. So, South Africa, I thought was an interesting choice because of the Congo.
Mm-hmm.
And in history, we studied the Congo as being a place where colonizing countries would come in and commit horrible, horrible acts, castration, severing of limbs. And I think that is an interesting choice, specifically South Africa. And I think that's definitely an allusion to the Congo. You know, you're from a place where they do this to you.
Yeah.
You're from the South. You're from the Congo where they castrate you to make sure you don't have offspring. Like,
also, like, South Africa is like that's like apartheid.
Yeah, that, I was gonna say it apartheid. Was, it was that's the word.
Like, overrun by white people and apartheid laws. So, you know, that's him saying like, you don't know what it's like to have independence
because
you've never known anything otherwise other than to have a white person looking over you the whole time.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was getting at. Thanks for articulating that for me. That's like, I was having trouble finding the words, but that's what I was trying to get at as apartheid. Like, all these places he names, it seems that he's saying, you know, they've got you. You're blind.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see you back soon.
Bye.
Bye.